This is All Things Considered on Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Kendra Carr. Michigan's August primary is next week, and candidates for state and national office will be on the ballot along with local proposals. Voters in Grand Traverse County may even decide who runs the state House of Representatives. That seat is likely to be one of the most expensive and important races in Michigan in 2020. IPR's Max Johnston identified a couple other key races. He joins me in studio to talk about them. Hey, Max.
Hey, Kendra.
So let's start with the first congressional race. Republican Jack Bergman is up for re-election. He represents Michigan's first congressional district in the U.S. House of Representatives. Who's he running against?
Yeah, so there are two Dems that are going up for the primary next week, Linda O'Dell and Dana Ferguson. Linda O'Dell, she worked in finance on Wall Street, and she sort of touts having that financial and sort of economic acumen. Here she is elaborating a bit on that.
I do believe that that experience in business and advocacy is perfect for the House of Representatives right now because we need oversight, especially with all the continued stimulus support that we will have in this pandemic.
And then Dana Ferguson is a lifelong resident of the UP. He's worked in construction for many years before he went back to school. He sort of touts his progressive and blue-collar roots and all his union endorsements. Here's a bit from him.
I've lived here. I know the struggles. I've watched friends and family leave because of lack of opportunity. And that is a reality. And without really having gone through that or knowing what that's like, it's hard to just sit back and say that you understand by sympathizing.
So Bergman won re-election in 2018 by a pretty wide margin. Is there any reason to suspect 2020 will be any different?
Well, both of the Democratic candidates I talked to said the pandemic really sort of bore some harsh truths in the UP, the fact that it's such a huge and for large pockets of it a rural area. So things like healthcare access is a big thing. Specifically, both candidates mentioned to me protecting the Affordable Care Act was a big deal to them to ensure people have health coverage. And then also investing in infrastructure. I mean, that's a big thing in a lot of rural communities, but especially up north, and specifically protecting the U.S. Postal Service, which a lot of people in the Upper Peninsula and in this district really rely on really closely, especially if you're in those sort of tucked away spots. So those were a couple big issues that came up. As far as sort of where the district will fall politically, it's kind of tough to tell. Bergman did win re-election by a pretty decent margin last time around, but Bart Stupak, who is a Democrat, held the seat for a long time as well. So it's not necessarily a given that it'll fall any particular way.
Max, let's continue in Grand Traverse County. A couple candidates are running for the opening in the 104th State House seat. Who's running?
That's right. So Dan O'Neill is the Democrat. He's running unopposed. He ran last time around as well. And the two Republicans that are going to the primary next week are John Roth and a woman named Heather Cerrone.
What can you tell us about those Republican candidates?
Yeah, John Roth, he's been a business owner, a longtime county resident. He's been involved in local politics, too. He's run for county commission, and he was recently the local GOP chair. He served on the county Parks and Rec Board. So he's sort of pretty well established in the county political circles. Heather Cerrone is a single mother. She's been really just a big advocate in a lot of local issues. She was involved in the Sanctuary City debate at the Traverse City level. She came out against Traverse City dictating whether it'll be a sanctuary city. She came out in support of the Second Amendment resolution that the county commission looked at a couple months ago. Both of these candidates say they're really staunch conservatives. The biggest difference I have seen is sort of what they're prioritizing right now. John Roth has talked about having year-round jobs in the area, having equitable school funding, and just more affordable housing, whereas Heather Cerrone has talked more broadly sort of about getting the economy fully reopened really quickly, and she's focused on some of the broader issues, especially the conservative issues, so protecting the Second Amendment. She's talked a lot about keeping taxes low. Here's what Heather Cerrone had to say about the pandemic.
We are adults. We are intelligent. So I think the government has been overbearing on that. You don't give up liberty to stop a virus.
And the current incumbent, Larry Inman, he's facing federal corruption charges. That was a big story surrounding this seat. Any idea if it'll affect the race this time around?
It's kind of interesting. Both of the Republican candidates I talked to said Larry Inman hasn't come up. But both have really touted on their websites and their mailers this idea of restoring trust and integrity to the seat. So clearly they're aware of, you know, some potential fallout from what Larry Inman has been accused of. Here's what John Roth, one of the Republican candidates, here's what he had to say about that.
People are done. They're, I think, a little confused on what exactly is Larry guilty, innocent, and we can look forward to somebody else representing our area with much more integrity.
And sort of on that note with what's happening with Larry Inman over this seat, Democrats are really invested in flipping this seat. They came really close last time around, and the people I've talked to think they can sort of capitalize on that momentum and maybe some fallout from Larry Inman to potentially flip this seat, which has traditionally been a Republican sort of post.
There are also some primaries in the 101st State House District. What can you tell us about that race?
Yeah, so on the Republican side of things, we have the incumbent Jack O'Malley. He's in a primary against a woman named Carolyn Cater, and two Democrats are running on the other side, so a woman named Beth McGill-Reiser and a guy named Kerry Urca.
So starting on the Republican side, Jack O'Malley is facing a Republican challenger. What can you tell us about the race?
Yeah, so O'Malley, who was elected for the first time in 2018, is running against a woman named Carolyn Cater. She sort of seems to be campaigning on how frustrated the district is with the COVID-19 response. She specifically said she doesn't think the 101st should have ever had to shut down. She wants it to reopen right now and has called Governor Whitmer a dictator in some of her sort of online campaign materials. Whereas Jack O'Malley has also been critical of the governor's response, and he's been specifically involved in some legislative efforts to curtail some of those executive orders. But, you know, he's also running on some specific issues. So in environmental projects like PFAS cleanup is a big thing. He's also really keen on getting funding for schools and having them reopen.
And the Democrats running, what do we know about them?
Yeah, so Beth McGill-Reiser is one of the people running on the Democratic side of things. She's worked in healthcare and the pharmaceutical industry and has really been involved in local Democratic politics for years. Her big thing is infrastructure spending, especially rural broadband internet access. Here she is elaborating a bit on that, about what it means for her. Oh, and has called Governor Whitmer a dictator in some of her sort of online campaign materials. Whereas Jack O'Malley has also been critical of the governor's response. The other Democrat running is a guy named Kerry Urca. He's a strawberry farmer. He sort of doesn't have a lot to say about some of the issues at hand. His big thing is he wants to run as a more centrist, moderate alternative to the other Democrat in the race. He says a lot of people like himself, centrists in the Democratic Party, have sort of been left behind recently. Here's a bit from him elaborating on that. Area. So things like healthcare access, it's mentioned to me, protecting the Affordable Care Act was a big deal to them to ensure people have health coverage. And then also investing in infrastructure. I mean, that's a big thing in a lot.
So for voters listening, in light of the pandemic, how can they expect to vote next week?
Yeah, so most of it will be by mail, absentee ballots, which you can request. You don't need an excuse to get them. If you are voting absentee, the Secretary of State says request those ballots as soon as possible from your local clerk and get them back to them by 4 p.m. on August 3rd, which is the day before the primary. And so far, a ton of absentee ballots have been requested. As of last week, almost 2 million were requested, and that's way more than in years past. In 2016, at this time, about 500,000 had been requested. So we know absentee ballots are going to be a big factor in this. That also does mean results could take a little bit longer to get because we're sifting through all this mail. But also, a quick note, there will be in-person voting for those people that are interested.
IPR's Max Johnston keeping us up to speed as we approach the August primary. Thanks, Max.
Thank you, Kendra.